Good morning. Today is Monday, March 25th. I am your host, Tina Jones.
Hi, Bam Bam.
Coming to you live from Moving Big Pebbles Studio, located in the nice beautiful of Colorado. Welcome to the program. So grateful to have you with us today. If you're listening later on the download, I appreciate it. Thank you for your continued likes, favorites, downloads, and all that good stuff. I know. I love that thing. It always cracks me up. They send it to me when I can look, when I remember to look at TikTok. It's so funny. Morning, baby. It was blizzard last night. Not that it was just windy. So you couldn't really see anything. There's not a whole lot of snow, but it started with rain, so there's like a sheet of ice. You can see it on the driveway. Ice, and then it's that really shiny white snow on top of it. So there's this accident everywhere. Hi, Pinky! How are you? Yeah, so fun stuff. Alright, so, I just told you about our weather. It's, the high is going to be 32, they're saying. Close to us, going at 9. So be careful. You have to go out. I guess so that none of the schools were on. They didn't cancel any schools. Half of them are on spring break. Half of them just are going back today. So I'm also not going to cancel the first day back. But for my family out there and well in Ontario, they're saying it's 36. I hope it's close to that. And sunny. It's like sunny stuff. And for my friends in Arizona and Phoenix, 49 and clear, high is 41, and Tucson, 41, and the city cloudy, and skies at high is 61. And then lastly, me, Eiffel. Welcome to the XPPNBUS. Welcome. I'm from Elkton, Maryland. It is 39 and sunny, skies at high. Alright, so let's. Down a little bit so we can talk about making sacrifices. Not making sacrifices and when you want to continue to grow in life. So that's what we're talking about. Something valuable that you give up in order to achieve something or after giving it up. The quote that I have is, great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice. It's never the result of selfishness, and that's Napoleon Hill. So, what does it mean to make it about making sacrifices? Making sacrifices and the path to success is an essential concept. It involves giving up something valuable in the present with the hopes of achieving something even better in the future. Pursuing success means sacrificing time, money, comfort, relationships, and even personal desires because there is something greater out there. It may seem daunting and overwhelming at first, but it's essential to achieve any form of success. It just seems so loud in my ear, but it's like barely here. I'll do it this way. It's barely on. There we go. All right. So to pursue success, you can do and enforce your priorities to build discipline and resilience. It fuels motivation and determination. It teaches the value of hard work. Instant gratification is the true epidemic of our time. We want everything now, instantly, but the things that truly matter and lead to long-term success require time and sacrifice. Delaying gratification is crucial for the success because instant gratification fosters weakness and powerlessness. The more you sacrifice, the more powerful and capable you become. Sacrificing constantly and consistency is hard. I get it. I've been there. I'm still there. I do it. Days and months and even years of wading through doubt and uncertainty with the question, is this going to work or work out? Constantly running through your mind. There will be moments when you want to give up and question if it's all worth it. In those moments, remind yourself of the goal you were started in this journey. Look for the sources of motivation and inspiration, whether reading success stories or talking with a mentor or a loved one. And remember, every sacrifice is bringing you closer to your ultimate goal. My friend, and I've told you I call him my mentor, he's my friend too, Brian Ford with Self Improvement Daily, he said, you have to remember where you are right now. Look back and see where you've come from and how far you've come and how far you've achieved. Sometimes when you're going through it and you're thinking it's not going to work, you don't realize that. But when you look back at all the times and all the things that all the hurdles and everything you've tried to do and everything that you've accomplished. So you've got this. I believe in you. Is it me that keeps going quiet? Oh, I don't know. Is everybody else hearing okay? I hope so. I have a little thing on sacrifice. Let's see if this plays. Gosh, I hope you can hear me.
What's stopping you? Are you too tired?
But yeah, my thing says excellent for once. Oh, you can hear okay? Maybe it's you, Bam Bam. Thank you, BP. There's no audio. Weird.
Or is the thing that's stopping you? You.
Well, can you hear this playing right now, Bam Bam?
You just have to assert it. You have to decide that you are going to be in control, that you are going to do what you want to do. Laziness does the default. If I want some life hack that eliminates the need to do the work, but that does not exist. No, you have to do the work. You've got to hold the line. You've got to make it happen.
Some of you just don't understand. Some of you have been average for so damn long, you don't know what it is to do hard work. But there's a lot of you out there who want to be much more than average. Just don't know how to do every single thing.
No, I'm not joking. Thank you, BXBP and BS. I don't know. MVP can hear it. Your light's green, but zero audio. What? There's no audience.
So make that a motivation.
That's so weird.
If you're going to be successful in life, you got to understand that there is a sense of urgency, that there are only 86,400 seconds in a day, and you got to not only operate in them.
Let me see if I can get Aaron to come on.
You got to do it in a hurry. Why? Because there's somebody else who's on the same track you are. Somebody else, they're on the same path that you are. There's somebody else just like you trying to do it. And sometimes they're working just as hard as you're working. They're putting in just as much sweat, just as much tears, just as much blood. But you just got to do it right. You got to do it faster than they do it. You got to do it quicker than they do it. You listen to what I'm saying? Pick up the pace. You're walking too slow. Pick up the pace. You're moving too slow. Pick up the pace. If you want to finish sometime, you can't just finish. You got to finish fast. You don't have as much time as you think you do. You master the present. That's why I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, because if you get up at 6, you might be smaller than me. You hear me?
Is it any better, Bam Bam?
You might have more privilege than me. You might have more resources than me.
Aaron's outside shoveling snow. I was going to have him come in.
I'm going to do it faster than you do it. So by the time you get up, with all your privilege, by the time you get up, with all your stuff, I've already finished the race.
Oh, okay, good. Yay.
Out there. pretty sure I can think about that person. You may see they put a name and face to it. If you may see a name and face is yours, you do the hustle. Give it somebody's head. Own space. In those times you want to quit, then rob you. You make sure you remember my thing. All those times, hours, days, you sacrifice to be best. Stay home.
All right, that was feeling mine about sacrifices. I love that. I love it. I'm so glad you can hear now. I know you want to hear this voice in your ears. I know you do. All right, we're going to do the joke of the day. What do you call an anxious fly? A jitterbug. A jitterbug. Get it? All right, this one's kind of corny too. What did one potato chip say to the other? Let's go for a dip. Those aren't that great, but all right. And so then I have a fact for the day for you, and I thought this one was pretty interesting. Did you know that Bob Ross, the painter, his hair was naturally straight, but he chose to get a perm so he could save money on haircuts when touring the U.S. Pinellas in his mobile home. Bob actually hated his curly hair, but kept it as it was iconic. Weird. I had no idea. I always thought he was one of those white guys that had super curly hair, like an afro. I went through those days when I got a perm. Oh my God. And when you get a perm, your hair is absolutely never the same again. It's always, my hair is, I know you see it, and it sometimes has a little curler. It's basically straight. No, it's curly. It's not Hanny J curly, but it's curly. And it's out of control. But you can, I know Bam Bam has seen the picture of me, my prom picture, it kind of looks like a mullet, kind of. It's a perm and it's kind of long in the back. It kind of was a mullet and I didn't have any idea. those were my, kind of my punk rock days. But yeah, that was perms, gross. Terrible, terrible perms. All right, Easter. Gosh, it's 5 days, 17 hours, and 18 minutes away. And I always say this because I tell these guys, what do you want to do? But I kind of told them, I don't want turkey and I don't want ham. Well, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. My stomach's always so upset. Nothing actually sounds appealing, you know? So they haven't said anything, so I have no idea what I'm making. But anyway, let's see. This Thursday, Bam Bam and I are going to be doing Connecting Through Movies and Soundtracks. We're going to be watching The Rainbow, a documentary about the historic Rainbow Bar on Hollywood Sunset Strip. That is actually the title of the documentary that's free on YouTube. I'll get that to you, Bam Bam, and I'll post that too. So if you want to watch it, it looks interesting. I've only watched a few minutes of it. And of course, one of the big characters throughout the movie documentary is Lemmy. I guess they put a big, huge statue of him there at the Rainbow. So, and I was looking on Wikipedia and there's all kinds of, watched it twice already. Oh, you did? Is it good? It's not all Motorhead from what I understand. And if it is, whatever, we'll still watch it. But, on Wikipedia, I was watching, checking to see just some of the artists that went through there, and even Neil Diamond was there. So it's all over the place. So that'll be on Thursday. We're going to do that. And then Friday, I'll be playing some music from that. Only a few Motorhead things. Oh, okay. Cool. But the statue looked really cool. And I love it that it's still there. I think it's still there. I don't think they've torn it down, you know, because it's iconic. And sometimes those places, they just like to tear them down and then build apartments up to the sky, you know, on that little piece of land. But it's like a little museum of music. Of live music too. So anyway, yesterday, I guess I had a good weekend. Yesterday it was nice and sunny. All weekend it was sunny, actually. I've been painting doors in the house. And when I went outside to paint one of the doors, our neighbor dog got out. Well, she was watching a dog, and they're Doberman pinchers. One is Hank, and what the heck was the dog that got lost? Oh gosh, it's like a Socrates. His name is Socrates. And they're huge dogs, and they look like they would be mean, but they're not mean. They don't even have the pointy ears. They have the floppy ears and stuff. Hank is very well behaved, but Socrates took off. And so Lewis and I were driving around trying to help them look for this dog. We were up in the neighborhood above us. And I don't know if out where you guys are, if out here, these signs, they say welcome. And it's like a piece of wood and it says welcome going down, you know, instead of across, it goes going down, and then they lean it up by the front door. That's all of it. Everybody loves having those out here. Well, there's one. We're like driving around looking for the dog, and there's a house that has one, and it says, go away. I was laughing so hard. I started cracking up. Lewis is like, why are you laughing? I'm like, that house has it. And I was trying to explain to him. I'm like, you know those welcome signs? And then all of a sudden we go around the corner and there's two. I said, those welcome signs like that. I said, watch. When we come back home, you'll see there's a sign in front of this house and it says, go away on it. So it was pretty funny. Hi. Let me see. Art of Laundering podcast. Okay, I hope I said that right. Welcome. But I thought that was pretty funny. Of course, Lewis is like, we gotta have one that says, get the F out of here. And I'm like, okay. He's like, we need to make them. People will buy them. I'm like, all right, do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So anyway, and then we also saw a little Volkswagen Bug with a surfboard on one side of the roof and a skateboard on the other side. And that just was like, where are you from, California? Because that totally reminded me of growing up. That's how the little teeny bugs, you know, with the surfboard on top. It's like, you're lost. You shouldn't be here in Colorado. You're really lost. I wanted to tell you guys about, I don't know if you've ever used this before, but I want to tell you about this product because it really does work. It's cold, but it really works. Biofreeze, you know what I'm talking about, that stuff you spray on your ouchies. Excuse me. I usually use Blue Emu oil. I think Blue Emu, I think that's what it's called. And they have like a cream and a lotion, and they have a spray, which I like, but I can't freaking find the spray anywhere because then it doesn't get all up under your nails and everything. So anyway, long story short, I went to the store yesterday to try to find me some Blue Emu spray. They didn't have any, and they had that Biofreeze, and I've never used it before because it's so damn expensive, but it was on sale. So I grabbed it, and that stuff really works. You could put that shit on everything, but don't, because then you would, depending on where you're hurting, it might not be that great. But it literally feels like you're sitting, well, like I'm saying sitting, okay? I'm having an issue with my butt. I thought it was because of the one of the rods that I have going into my pelvis. I thought that that's where it's like in a joint. It's in the joint. It hurts so damn bad. And my pain doctor's like, no. It's not where it's your rod's there, and that could be irritating it. But he says it's like is it your hamstring that goes all the way up there? Anyway, he told me these exercises to do to stretch, which I'm doing, but they're not working. So I bought this Biofreeze stuff and I sprayed it on my butt, which was not easy to do, on my butt cheek and down my leg, because that's where it hurts. And it literally feels like you're sitting on ice. It feels like you have an ice pack on wherever you sprayed it. So be very careful where it goes. But it does really work. It helps with the pain. It helps it freeze it, I guess. But so if you have the money and you want to try it, I'm telling you, I deal with pain. So it works. It works well. I figured out I have to spray it on my hand and then put it where it needs to go, or else it goes everywhere. And yeah, you don't want that. Anyway, that's what I did today. I just remember in high school, some guy on the football team had like a groin pull, a groin like very close to, you know, what you guys have there, your stuff. And he put Bengay there, and he got touched areas he shouldn't have touched, and he was in so much pain. And because he did it right before he put on all of his stuff to go out there and play. And yeah, he was in a lot of pain. It was funny. It wasn't funny, but you know, it's funny thinking about it. You have to be careful where you put that. All right. So in trending, we talked about Easter. I heard this morning and it made me smile. Kevin Bacon, I don't know if you've heard, you know, he was in Footloose. The school where they filmed Footloose is relocating. That's what they're saying, is relocating. So to me, that means maybe they're tearing it down and they're having a new building. They don't say that. They just say they're relocating. Anyway, the school students, I'm going to post this video, but throughout the whole school, of course, it's all Footloose, pictures of Footloose. They have his locker that was used in the movie. It has all of his stuff in the inside of it. He's just, you know, it's like a local hero kind of. There was also local talent that was in the movie that kind of still live there. What else? So these kids are doing flash mobs and skits from the movie to try to get him to come out there to their prom before they're no longer at that building. So here it is.
These might be the most famous lockers in America.
I think so. I mean, even we get to follow in Kevin Bacon's footsteps every single day.
Back in 1984, in the hit movie Footloose, Kevin Bacon became a cult hero, taking on a small town that's outlawed dancing to hold a senior prom while teaching his best friend to dance.
So should we give it a try?
And while the town in Footloose is fictitious, the school where they shot it is not.
This is Kevin Bacon's locker. This place is like a time capsule for the 1980s.
You did it too? You know what I'm talking about. Doesn't feel good, huh? And you can try to wash it off. It doesn't come off. It doesn't come off. It has to wear off.
I feel like I'm in the movie.
There's nothing you can do to make it feel better.
Decades after the movie's release. Why does it mean so much to you?
I think it means so much because everyone around us cares about it so much.
And that pride runs deep in the community. Brian Wimmer and Kim Wilson grew up here and were asked to be extras in the film. Did either of you ever imagine that this film would become the pop culture phenomenon that it's been?
No, yeah. Not at all.
It's a freak coincidence that all of the things come together perfectly the way
that's terrible.
The timing of when it was, who was in it, the music, all of that.
That's Brian chest bumping actor Chris Penn in the iconic prom scene.
They needed the homegrown talent to make it work.
And everybody was willing to jump in 100%.
Payson was more than a location. Payson was a character.
Yes. But soon these famous hallways will be gone. Payson High School is relocating at the end of the school year. So students decided the best way to say goodbye would be to ask Kevin Bacon himself to return for their last prom. How much work have you put into this campaign?
Well, basically this whole year has been the Footloose year.
With the hashtag Bacon to Payson, the students using social media to get Bacon's attention, recreating scenes from the movie, learning the Footloose dance, and on prom day, they'll host an event to support Bacon's charity, 6 Degrees.
To watch them just take ownership of that and run with it has been, it succeeded beyond my wildest dreams, honestly.
Jenny Staley is the student council advisor at Payson. What do you think it is 40 years later that makes Footloose still resonate with kids today?
40 years, man. I know we all watched that movie.
And they don't feel understood and they don't feel heard. That teenage experience that you see in the movie is something that every single teenager still understands and lives every day. What would it mean to you guys if Kevin Bacon showed up?
Everything. And just because of all the work we've put in.
I think it just wouldn't be so unforgettable. Like, we made a big difference and we were able to get a movie star to come back to Payson. Like, that's insane.
And this was just live this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I want to welcome in someone live from the set of his new movie in Atlanta, Georgia. Kevin Bacon, you with us?
Hey, everybody.
Yay!
What's going on, Payson High School? How are you guys doing? I have been so impressed with everything that's been going on there with this crazy idea to get me to come back. I don't need to say it, but the movie and Payson High School was a big part of my life. And I've been amazed at the work that all of you have been putting into this with the, you know, the musical and the flash mobs and the recreations and the, it hasn't gone unnoticed by me. Not to mention the fact that you've tied in 6degrees.org, our foundation, and are trying to figure out ways to give back to your community. It's really inspirational. So thank you.
Hi, Scooter.
And I'm going to come. I got to come.
So they just found out he's going to come to their prom, and they're so excited. And there's all kinds of kids dressed up as Bacon, or they're holding a Kevin Bacon, big old Kevin Bacon head.
This place is going absolutely wild. Now, Ruby, Caleb, you guys warned me. If you got this news, this place would explode. You were wrong. Kevin's still listening. What do you want to say to him? What kind of party can he expect at Payson?
Let's dance. We're going to do it. This is awesome. Yes.
We're going to party really hard, Kevin.
I'm glad to hear.
Amazing. Well, guys, if it's okay with you, if Kevin's coming, the Today Show would like to be back.
So that's pretty cool. I think that that's motivational that these, yeah, the whole school practically got together to try to get him to come back to their school to, for Footloose, because it's going to no longer be there, that school. I hope they take the lockers out or something. You know, I'm sure all that stuff would go for, they could raise money for that. Anyway, I think that's awesome. So there you go. Kevin Bacon, he's going to the prom. I don't think I need anything else from there. All right. You guys all saw the fox was back. He was back this morning, but I think we scared him, so he didn't come. He came up the driveway, and like he was going to go on the side of the house where it's open to the field. And the other side has the Doberman Pinscher, so he won't come that way. So he'll come around the other way, but I think he saw us because we're sitting out there looking for the fox, and he didn't come. You guys, I think you all saw that juicy, plump squirrel he decided to bury in my garden. Thank you, Fox. Appreciate you so much. Let's see. Oh, we only have 15 minutes. So let me get into this habits thing and tell me what you guys think. I was reading this and it says 13 small habits that actually reveal a lot about your personality. I don't know that I believe all of it, but it's on an automatic thing. Let's see if it'll go back. Stop. It says it's the little things that show something about your personality. Some of them, I don't know. This one says the way you walk. Well, and then it's talking about if you walk standing up and with your head up high and, you're more confident. Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, instead of being crouched over and not, you know, looking up and looking down, but I don't know. I mean, you strut your stuff. What does that say? So the way you walk, they said that has something to do with your personality. Your handshake. I've always heard that people, you know, sometimes with a stronger handshake, but to me, I don't know. Sometimes that could be like when it's strong and they don't let go, like it's kind of aggressive. It's just like a handshake. And do people really any handshake anymore? Actually, you know what? Last week, I went to go get a gift for somebody, and the store that I went to is closing. And I know these people. I always go there and get these crosses. And he was explaining to me how they're going to do it now out of their home, because they're tearing down the building and building apartment complexes there. So he actually, when he gave me his card, shook my hand. And I actually thought, wow, that's weird. People don't shake hands anymore, because I don't think people do really since COVID. He's the first one in a long time that's actually like shook my hand. What if you walk on all fours? Does that mean you're a dog? A dog or creepy? And if you walk on all fours backwards, you'd be like that girl in the WWE that was doing, oh no, she did the worm backwards. But didn't she crawl backwards too? Like, or is that just from a scary movie? I know they do that in scary movies too, where they're like a bridge and they're walking like backwards, all creepy. Yeah, I don't know. It means watch out. Watch out. Some of you might get your leg peed on, but BP, so be careful if somebody's walking that way. Your email etiquette says something about your personality. Well, no duh. If you're like saying F-bombs and, you know, whatever, yeah, you can see that. That makes sense. Nervous tics, like fiddling with your hair, or do you know what? I don't know about that, but you know, I have always, hi, I'm chosen, appointed, and IBBGWXQ. Welcome. I've always shook my leg. Always, 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 always. You know, when I'm sitting, I'll just be sitting and I'm shaking my leg, one of my legs. It's just, I don't know. I've always done that. And then when I had gone, was going to this, see a therapist to talk to somebody, he kind of pointed it out and made it sound like it was bad. Like, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, well, why? It's just, I don't think it's a nerve. It's just, I do it all the time. I wasn't just doing it because I was in there talking about issues that bother me. I do it all the damn time. If I was sitting right now, I would be doing it. That's just something I do. So I don't know if you can say that that's a nervous twitch or not, but I mean, they say that. And again, biting your nails, fiddling with your hair. They say that it shows that you're bored or dissatisfied. So I don't think I agree with that. Punctuality. Oh yeah. I think that that has something to do with your personality for sure. But you can't say, let's say you have 5 kids and you try to get places and you want to be punctual and you want to get there, but you have to have all of these other people in the right, you know what I mean? So it's not always you, it's circumstances. It doesn't matter if you want to start a half an hour early because you know you want to get there on time. Sometimes it doesn't happen and it's because of other people in your life. So yeah, I mean, some of these are just silly. Let's see what else. Oh, your eating habits talk about your personality. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess so. What does it say about BP? That he eats all kinds of yummy stuff and that he should weigh 300 pounds and he's not. He's nice and fit. So I always try to get to places early. Me too. Just because my mom always was like, you need to be punctual. If you're invited somewhere and you say you're going to be there, you need to be there. I always try to be there on time. That's just, yeah. I always go. So, but anyway, eating habits. I don't know what it would say about your personality, to be honest with you. What does that have to do with anything? But BP does eat some yummy looking stuff. Let's see. This says a shirt. The color of your clothes, the style, cost, and even the color of your outfit are very revealing, it said. What the hell does that mean? How would you know how much something costs unless it's, you know, a labeled brand, which all those hoity-toities wear those label brands all over. It says that you're trying to seek attention. And if you're wearing black, that you're sad. Okay, well, that I don't believe at all because half of my closet is black. I just like black. I just like the color black on me. So it doesn't mean anything. It just means I like black. It doesn't mean I'm sad. It doesn't mean I'm depressed. I just like the color black. Let's see. My eating just means I'm too lazy to cook. No, it means you're supporting the local community that you live in. That's what it means. See, I'm looking for the positive. So I don't know about that whole black thing. And maybe the name brands. I'm thinking like name brands, there's the Real Housewives of whatever city they're in. And they're always like dressed and name brands, and they have to have name this and name that. I don't think that if I won all the money in the world and I could spend it on that stuff, I don't think that I would. I'm not drawn to that. It's not something that I'm like, ooh, I hope to have that someday. I'm like, no. Or a big diamond ring? No. It's like, give me a fake one. So I know. Hey, Jack from the South. So if it gets lost or stolen, I'm not so sad about it. You know what I mean? Yeah, clothes don't make, I've never been that person. I've never been like, oh my gosh, I have to go and have this purse. Nope. I have like a little sling backpack. Oh my gosh, I have to go and have this. Nope. And since all my back surgeries, I'm mostly dressed in athletic wear anywhere because I'm always working out. So that's just not me. I'm not into that kind of stuff. I would rather spend my money bettering myself and helping others. That is my big thing, is I love to be able to give to others. So yeah, but you never know until you get a bunch of money what's going to happen to you. But I honestly don't think, that I would change that much. Let's see, your shopping habits, it says, has something to do, reveals about your personality. Let's say, want to get to know someone better. Take them to the mall. People who love to shop and tend to shop too much are more likely to have personalities classified as hedonist, extrovert, impulsive, open to new experiences, and maybe a little neurotic. What? Just because you're shopping? I think that these people have too much time on their hands. I shop at Goodwill, whether I'm broke or making money. Oh, you're like, do, 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 do. I'm gonna drop some tags. Only got $40 in my pocket. That one. Yep. Ooh, I scared off Jack. He left. we have the Goodwills, and I can't remember the one that we go. Gosh dang it. What is it called? Hey, Queen. Dang it, every time I see you come in, I always want to say Cute Bella, and it's not Cute Bella, it's Queen Bella. Hi, Bella. Hope you're doing well. I can't think of the name of the Goodwill type store that's out here that we go to, but it's got some pretty cool stuff. We used to, when we would go to Halloween parties, we would always go there, and we would just, you know, Lewis still has this green, it's like a green sports coat he got one time. I think we were going to a St. Patrick's Day, an older gentleman's like green sports coat. So he has that kept somewhere, but you can call him that. Thank you. But it makes me think of Cubella, who I miss too. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's all good. I just don't want to say the wrong thing, you know? At least I'm not saying anything bad. All right. So shopping habits. Let's see the next one. Oh, how often you take selfies. Well, maybe. I think that there's some people that's all they do is take pictures of themselves. I don't. Not at all. Yeah, they're like always taking, this is my side. This is my side. So yeah, I would say that to me, if I knew somebody who was constantly doing that, they're saying it's because they have low self-esteem. Low self-esteem. However, frequent selfie takers were also more likely to be extroverted and value relationships with others. It says the younger the person, the more pronounced the effects were, the research. But yeah. Hi, South Bosman. Good evening, my friend. oh my gosh. Let's see. Let's go back over here. What is this? Oh, your handwriting. Yeah, nowadays. Hey, Bam Bam. I don't know if you're able to put it in the chat because you have children. Are they teaching them cursive in Canada? I know out here they stopped. Well, it's been probably 10 years since they've stopped. In California, it's been even longer than that because my niece was out here. And let's see. 2011, I think. And she didn't even know how to read handwriting. It was like a pig Latin, you know, you can write in cursive and they don't know how to read it. She had no idea how to read handwriting. And I was like, wait a minute, you're going into high school. She's like, they don't teach us. They don't teach us cursive anymore. And I didn't believe her. And I went online and sure enough, they stopped doing it in a lot of places in Colorado quite some time ago. No cursive at all. On the computer, they write with language, but not handwriting. Wow. It's a conspiracy, so people won't know how to probably sign your name on legal documents. That kind of makes sense. That kind of makes sense. Even Aaron, he always asks, like, when we go places, if you don't know, my son Aaron has autism. He's like, and I tell him when he needs to sign, we go to the bank and he's like, in cursive? I'm like, yeah, in cursive. And people are always shocked because they have no... They don't know how to, a lot of people don't know how to sign cursive. They just print their name. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy to me. Yeah, my pain, you always, that was us. You were always taught, and it was like your personality. It was your own. I mean, after you got it out of school, of course, because when you're in school, they wanted you to have your J's a certain way and this a certain way. And you had to have it exactly like you were tracing it. But then afterwards, you got it to curve it a certain way and you put your own personality to it. Yeah, I try not to be sloppy, but I've always had, I think, pretty nice penmanship and you just keep at it. But that's just crazy that it's just, and it totally makes sense what you're saying, that it is a conspiracy that they don't want you to know how to sign legal documents. That's pretty crazy, huh? That's a whole nother story. All right, let's see what else. And then we'll get into some music. What you drink? What? What? Let's see what it says. You may mindlessly throw that 12-pack of soda into your shopping cart or order a large pina colada on the night out, but you might want to think twice what your drink choices reveal about you. Let's see. If you drink sugary beverages, we're less likely to think about future consequences and instead tend to make choices to live in the moment. These people were impulsive and open. On the other hand, people who were more conscientious about their health spent more time predicting future consequences and were less likely to drink the sugar bomb. So, all right. We'll end on this one. If you deflect compliments, it says a lot about your personality. I guess so. I mean, I guess that could... I don't know what it says about your personality, but I've always, you know, I've gotten into the habit of accepting them and saying thank you without, like saying something. And it was always, I guess, kind of a nervous thing for me when somebody threw a compliment my way. It was like a nervous way to respond to it, not knowing how to deal with it. So yeah, I guess so. Let's see. My handwriting sucks. No, does it? At least it's readable. I've gotten a card from you. It's readable. All right, guys. I needed a drink of my coffee. We're going to get into some music. And I have just some... I know this isn't your type of music, Osman. Maybe you'll fall asleep to it. I don't know. But it's more upbeat dance music, kind of 70s, early 80s. So let's see. Hopefully the music will open up for me on a bunch of different positions. I hope it's not wanting to open up for me. I don't know what's going on. Oh, let's see. The Motorhead one opened up. What does that mean? But the... Come on. There we go. All right. All right. Amazon, or it might be my tablet. Who knows? The first song that I have on the list today is going to be Conga by Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan. Let me tell you about the song. The song was written by the band's drummer and lead songwriter, Enrique Garcia. Gloria said about Conga, if I had to take everything into consideration, the true essential song would have to be Conga. First, because I don't think I can get away with not performing that song in some shape or form. Secondly, because it started the possibility of Mia Tara Escobar's top selling Spanish album, Happening. Not only did it talk about specific rhythm of my homeland, Cuba, it talked about being Latino. I cannot speak this morning. Latino, excuse me, and the celebratory nature of the dance. It was very musically forward in that it's mixed funk bass line and 2/4 beats on the drum and Latin percussion. It was said that it put us on the map. And even though it's a fun song, it talks about who we are as immigrants in this land. So here it is, Conga on Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan. Oh my word. And it's just, oh man. First Bam Bam can't hear me. Now it's just taking forever to play. Oh, if I knew this words, the song, I'd sing it for you. But it's not. Wow. I don't know what's, it's just flashing. Oh, it says it's playing, but I don't hear anything. Sorry, guys. Let me go back to where you're at. Oh, there it goes. Sometimes I wonder if I have ghosts in this house. Do you think I have a ghost that's playing with me? Because Billy always acts like he is looking at something. You know what I mean? Like he's, like he'll get up like he's looking at something. And Lewis always jokes, it's a ghost. I'm like, you're crazy. Oh, you do, South Austin? Now, I think you have dogs and cats maybe. Do they notice it? Do they feel it, the energy? It trips me out because I always think about the mirrors. Bam Bam, remember we were talking about mirrors? And you were saying how it's like a passageway, the mirrors.
Of the island and the sugar cane so sweet. To the conga, got to listen to the beat.
Okay, all right, no problem. So this was the first ever record to get into the U.S. pop, dance, black, and Latin charts. It was certified gold by the Record Industry Association in the U.S. for shipments of over 500,000 copies. However, it wasn't a hit in the United Kingdom. Failing to chart, it topped at only number 75. So Conga, Gloria Estefan, Miami Sound Machine, off the album Primitive Love, 1985. It charted number one in the U.S. and number one in Canada. Hopefully the next one comes up fine. Yeah, our neighbors, well, that used to live next to us, were always, they always had a humongous haunted house in the front of their house, in the back of the yard, every year, ever since we moved into this house. And then the city kind of shut them down. And they said, screw this town. They moved to Arizona. And when they were buying this house, she had taken pictures and there were crosses all over this house. Now I like crosses myself. I like crosses. I just like crosses. But they also had, you know, those big, huge statues of Mary and the outdoor statues. They're usually in people's front yards. They're like a big statue of Mary. And there's other ones that they had. They were all in the house. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why are those? Why do they have those in their house? Well, after they went and they moved out to Arizona and they have cats, the house is haunted. And they found out the history of the house, but like the person, the haunted, the spirit, I should say, would, it plays with their cats. Like it would throw the cat toys at the husband. He would come home and the cat would be by him, and that all of a sudden one of the toys would roll to him and stuff. And then they started asking questions, the neighbor, and found out what happened. But they said one time he was pissed off and he didn't want to deal with it. And he said, I don't want to deal with you. Just leave me alone. And they said the spirit left him alone. It wouldn't play. It didn't want, you know, it just went off, did whatever. But they're into that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think it would freak me out a little bit. But anyway, we might have a haunted house. I have no idea. All right, we're going to move on. Flashlight by Parliament. This song was written by George Clinton, Bernie Worrell, and Bootsy Collins. I like that name, Bootsy. This funk classic was originally recorded by Parliament's bass player, Bootsy Collins' spin-off band, Bootsy's Rubber Band. It was intended for their first album, but ended up going to Parliament, where it became the group's number one R&B hit and one of their most popular tracks. The song was also used in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 credits and was included in the film soundtrack. The song was also featured in the film Straight Outta Compton and The Heat. The chant in the song, Malali-dee-da-da-da-dee-da-ha-ba-da-da, is based on a Jewish bar mitzvah chant. So here they are, Parliament. Flashlight. I know you're dancing, BP. Or shaking your foot at least. You too, Sal Gosman. Bam, bam. I won't even. Suck a dance. You can't take it? You can't? Oh, man. So, in the P-Funk universe, Sir Knows Devoid of Funk is a character who, as his name implies, is devoid of the funk. He's too cool for school and won't dance, putting him at odds with Star Child, who is George Clinton. Based on the 1977 Bootsy Rubber Band track, The Pinocchio Theory, where Bootsy asserts, "Don't fake the funk or your nose will grow." Sir Nose shows up early in the Funkatelia versus Placebo Syndrome album on the track, Sir Knows Defunk of Funk. Pay attention to B3M, it says. In Flashlight, Star Child helps him find his funk, and he finally dances. All right. Flashlight, Parliament, off of Funkintellicky versus the Placebo Effect, 1978, and only charting number one in the U.S. Nowhere else. All right. We're going to pause that one and go on to the next song. And it is Last Night the DJ Saved My Life by NDEEP 3. It was written by Michael Cleveland in the U.S. Last Night a DJ Saved My Life. DJ, that's me. Reached number 10 on the Billboard R&B Hip Hop Singles Chart and number 2 on the Billboard's Club Singles Chart, but could only bubble under the main Billboard Hot 100, where Black crossover had become very difficult in 1980 as a result of the anti-disco backlash. Was that you, Ozman? Because of the limited success of NDEEP's later releases, the group's first single was its only major hit and placed it into a one-hit wonder category of artists. So here it is, Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, NDEEP. Kind of same beat. He couldn't take it. He left. Thank you, Bam Bam. Thank you, BP. Thank you, IPPJWKXQ.
Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life, yeah. Cause I was sitting there bored to death. And then just one empty seat. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up. You know you're driving me crazy, baby. You've got me turning to another man.
Thank you, Bam Bam. Let's dance.
Called you on the phone, no one's home. Baby, why are you all alone? And if it wasn't for the music, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song.
And so Last Night a DJ Saved My Life celebrates the transformative power of music. We've always talked about that, particularly when delivered by a DJ. It highlights the ability of music to uplift, heal emotional wounds, and provide an escape from life's problems. Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, NDEEP, off the album Last Night a DJ Saved My Life, 1982, with chart number 2 in the U.S. I don't know. I like this music. I can get into it. All right, we're going to move on to the next song, and it's You're In My System by The System. The song was written by Mick Murphy and David Frank, was released in August of 1982. You Are In My System was a minor hit for The System, reaching only at number 64 on the Billboard Hot 100. And it also topped the Black Singles Chart and Club Plays Singles Charts. There is also a Spanish version of the song called Tu Este Alma Estestima. I hope I didn't say anything bad, which was released by The System in late 1982. In 1983, the song was covered by Robert Palmer, who I'm going to play a little bit of, which I totally remembered after I put it on here. That one reached number 78. So let's listen to The System with You're In My System. The best I know. I'm like, uh-oh, what did I say? I know that, you know what, Bam Bam? It's like the new stuff is, there's just nothing behind it. It's just, I don't know. I remember this version. I think Robert Palmer's was it charted better. Yeah, it charted number 33 on the Billboard Hot 100. Yeah, see, so that's the system. You're in my system. Now let's listen to Robert Palmer's. Hey, Yancy. I think Robert Palmer just had that kind of, like, that I'm cool, you know? He has those girls behind him. He was just sexy, I have to say. Robert Palmer was just sexy. And night by night, I feel you in my mind. It happens all the time. I don't know. I think I kind of like the Robert Palmer one. I don't know, just because I guess I'm used to it. I'm used to hearing that one on the radio. So that was in 1983, and it reached, let's see, 78 on the Billboard Hot 100 and 33 on the Main Street Rock chart. So You're in My System, first by The System, this one by Robert Palmer. The System one charted 10 in the U.S., it said. So I guess it did do a little bit better than Robert Palmer's. Must have been on a different chart. All right, I like that one. I do like Robert Palmer. All right, the next song that I have is I Owe You by Freeze. And the song I Owe You by Freeze explores the themes of love, confusion, and unfulfilled expectations in a relationship. That just sounds like a relationship at times. It has all of that in it. That's just life. The lyrics depict a complex dynamic where the narrator expresses feelings of love and longing, but also experiences moments of sadness and deceit. The song was written and produced by Arthur Baker, and the song was an international hit. So here it is, I Owe You, Freeze. Oh, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know why that one couldn't come on here. I'm going to look that one up. So I'm going to go on to the next one, and then I'll look up that one. I Need a Freak by the Egyptian Lover. I Need a Freak is an influential rap / electro song. Electro, yeah, that's what it says. Originally released in 1983 by the musical act Sexual Harassment, it has been recorded and sampled many times, most notably by the hip-hop group Black Eyed Peas and their 2005 hit song, My Hips. The song itself quotes from Anton Dvorak's New World Symphony. Egyptian Lover covered I Need a Freak from the album Back from the Tomb. All right, here they are, the Egyptian Lover, I Need a Freak. And I think that's all they say in this song is I need a freak. Uh-oh.
In these times,
I don't ever remember this song being played on the radio, so. Yeah, I love Robert Palmer. He needs a freak. He needs a freak. Oh. Hey, Sardis. Oh, bye, Sardis. Well, that is Anita Freak by the Egyptian Lover. Freaky, freak, freak. All right, here is I O U by Freeze. Oh, well, there it is. Oh, B and Maxine is in this video and scratching. I thought that there was a girl singing this. They're just showing two guys. Oh my gosh, what was that thing called? It was like a piano guitar. Oh my gosh, you gotta see this video. It brings you back to the day. There's boom boxes, BM magazines, scratching, breakdancing, all that cool stuff. All right, that was Freeze, I-O-U. Oh, it just said for whatever reason, because I brought this just up on YouTube and then it was saying something about the Cult. You know, the band, the Cult. That was one of my first concerts I ever went to was to go see the Cult. Have to look and see what they were sending me. All right, so we did Egyptian Lover. We did I.O.U. I think it's time for, it's called a keytar? Well, that makes sense. They look weird. This one had a very short stem. The stem on it was very short. I don't know what you call that handle. It wasn't long like they normally are. It was very small. Like it just fit in the palm of his hand. It was weird. Keytar. All right. So, oh, Sheila, ready for the world. Rumors to the contrary, this song has nothing to do with Prince's protege, Sheila E. When lead singer Melvin Riley was working on the song in his basement, he came up with the melody and tried the names of various girls to fit in. Lisa almost made the cut, but Sheila sounded the best. The song is commonly misattributed to Prince due to the similarities to his vocal and musical style, heavily use of detoned rim shot sounds of a drum machine, and the belief that the song's lyrics alluded to Prince's collaborator, Sheila E. So, yeah, for the longest time, I really did think that this was Prince. Here is Ready for the World, Oh Sheila. And it's right, it's like everything from the music to everything, it sounds like him.
Can't you let me grind the beat? 'Cause with you is where I need to be. to be. And, oh, sugar, boy, you've been hanging out with me for nothing. Somebody's gonna hurt you the way you love to keep hurting me. Oh, Sheila, let me love you to the moon. Oh, Sheila, you know I want to be the only one. Oh, baby, I'm just a.
So Ready for the World's success was never quite duplicated again. Their debut album went platinum. Their follow-up album, Long Time Coming, went gold. And from that, they clawed their way back into the Billboard charts two more times. But they never quite made it. It's another good band. I want to say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That was, yeah, there were 6 guys in this band when the bands had, like, numerous people. Oh, Sheila, Ready for the World, off the album Ready for the World, 1985. It would chart number 1 both in the U.S. and in Canada. All right, so we're going to move on from Oh, Sheila to In My House by the Mary Jane Girls. Let's talk a little bit about that song. Mary Jane Girls were the group assembled by Rick James, who wrote and produced this song. James released a song in 1978 called Mary Jane, which is about the love of marijuana. So the group's name is rather obvious. Although member JoJo claimed it could be a term of femininity, or possibly the shoes that the girls wore back in the day, Mary Jane's. Not only that, but this song got the attention of the Parents Music Resource Center, PMRC, which it was put on their list of 15 songs they found patently offensive. The song would climb to number 3 on the R&B charts and made number 1 on the dance charts. Let's listen, Mary Jane Girls, In My House. Was there a candy called Mary Jane Candy? Huh.
So if you need a little peace of mind, come on over, boy, anytime. I'll get you happy and so satisfied. In my house, in my house, in love and tenderness. You'll find this made, baby, that you miss. To my house, my house, ooh, in my house.
Um, the girl, JoJo McDuffie, said in an interview, I remember being really, really irritated about being put on the PMRC because there was nothing in the song that would suggest anything inappropriate. Was the song about sex? Of course it was, but lyrically, it was tastefully done, she said. And I think so too. I mean, yeah, Mary Jane, Girls, In My House, off the album Only For You in October of 1984. It would chart number 7 in the U.S. and number 6 in Canada. Mary Jane, Girls. Yeah, I remember those candies now. They were, yeah, they would take your tooth out. Or yeah, I actually had, it was a Laffy Taffy, no, something like that, I remember, and I had a little feeling or a crown or something, and it actually took, it was probably a feeling, I didn't have crowns when I was little, it took it right out. Those things, I never eat them again, but yeah, and they didn't taste very good either, those little Mary Jane candies, but those were the same time they had the candy cigarettes too. Remember those? Yeah, every once in a while I'll see those at, there's a store, I don't know if you guys have them, but they're called Big Lots. And every once in a while, like around Halloween time, they have those candy cigarettes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember those, all of those kids walking around with candy cigarettes hanging out of our mouths. All right, the next song that I have, let me get good, it's on there. Cutie Pie by the group One Way. There wasn't a whole lot about the song, but here is Cutie Pie is a song performed by One Way, issued as the second single from their album, Who's Fooling Who. The song was the band's only appearance on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 61. In 1982. So here it is, Cutie Pie, One Way. Oh, Bottle Caps. Oh, I remember those too. Pop Rocks, out of all of them, I like Pop Rocks the best. Bottle Caps tasted like flavored chalk. And you know, when you were a kid, you tried chalk and glue and mud. You tried all those things.
You're the reason why I love you so. I don't want you to go.
Oh, ring pops. Cutie Pie by The One Way is a classic love song expressing deep affection and admiration for a special someone named Cutie Pie. The lyrics convey a sense of joy and contentment that the singer feels because of their relationship with their person. Cutie Pie. Cutie Pie, One Way. Off the album Who's Fooling Who, 1982. It didn't chart anywhere. Poor Cutie Pie didn't chart. All right, I gotta play this next one because it's by Pebbles. Girlfriend by Pebbles. It was written and produced by L.A. Reid and Babyface. The song was originally intended for Vanessa Williams' debut album, The Right Stuff. According to Reid, Williams' record label, Wing, showed interest in Williams' recording Girlfriend, which Reid played for her alone in his apartment. However, Pebbles heard the production team were not, let me see, wait a minute. Pebbles heard the song and offered Reed more money and two cars for the chance to record it. As a result, the production team were not asked to work on more songs with Williams' debut. Reed said, due to that incident, Williams never spoke to him again. All right. Well, Pebbles, she got it. Here's Girlfriend by Pebbles. Money and two cars. Wow. I know. And water from the hot hose, too, right? We all lived. Go out and find yourself a new baby. Girl, you need a trip. Cause there's no other misery and pain. Just remember how you would tell your lies. Pretend that everything is so sweet. Why should you sacrifice if you're not satisfied? He's just a man I run around and eat. Girlfriend, how could you let him treat you so bad? Oh, girlfriend, you know you are the best to ever have. Song Reed and Babyface were in a group called The Deal, D-E-E-L-E, when this was recorded. They sang backup on this track. And before they come in, you hear her say, "To Believe" line for the third time, and Pebble says, "Deal, sing." Let's see if it comes up. Welcome, as you here it is. No, I guess not. When do I sing it? Anyway, they're in there. I thought it was. Right there. So that is Babyface and Reed with Pebbles, Girlfriend, Pebbles off the album Pebbles, 1987. It would chart number 17 in the U.S. and number 5 in Canada. Canada liked Pebbles better than the United States. Huh. Makes sense. All right. Let's see. We have a nice for a couple more. Let's see. Which one I want to play? Let's play Rubber on Me, the Gap Band. Burn Rubber on Me. Written by member Charlie Wilson, Rudy Taylor, and producer Lonnie Smith, the lyrics of this song refer to being abandoned by a lover. The phrase "burn rubber on me" itself refers to said woman driving off while her lover is away. The narrative is continued in Early in the Morning. In 1981, it peaked at number 84 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it was number one hit on the R&B charts. Billboard magazine ranked it the 12th biggest R&B single in 1981. So I'll tell you a little bit more about this in a minute. Let's listen to a little bit of Burn Rubber on Me, the Gap Band.
Thank you.
Thank you, BP.
I gave you my body. I gave you my time. Why you gonna hurt me? Mysterious. I'm mysterious. Why you wanna hurt me, girl?
Burn rubber on me, Tony. Oh no. Charlene, I haven't heard that name in forever. So this, on this song opens up with the sounds of car burning rubber in the driveway. They used two cars to do this. The rubbing noise was a Volkswagen owned by Calvin Yarborough of Yarborough and People. The car didn't have the horsepower to burn rubber, so they used another car for that and combined the sounds. Both were recorded in the parking lot of a Los Angeles studio where they were working, called The Total Experience. It's a very memorable opening, but it almost got mixed. According to Lonnie Smith, their record label asked them to remove it, fearing that radio stations wouldn't play it. They took it off, but some copies accidentally went out with the car sounds, and the rest was history. The Gap Band. Burn Rubber on Me, Charlene. The album, The Gap Band 3, 1980. All right, we're going to move on. Let's see, we have enough time for one more, and I think I'm going to end with Prince. Prince's Controversy is a song we're going to play. Prince had stirred up plenty of controversy in 1981, which he addresses in this song, the title track of his fourth album. This is the first Prince song where he addresses himself, offering a glimpse into his life. The key line is, "I can't understand human curiosity." Perhaps more than any other artist in history, Prince spoke through his music. Why anyone would want to know about my personal life was a mystery to me. He also added no attraction to other celebrities, turning down about every collaboration offer and rarely hobnobbing in with them, it says. So here is Controversy, Prince. Man, he was a talented human being. So the lyrics challenge the boundaries of exception society places on individuals, inviting listeners to question and examine their own beliefs and values. Controversy, Prince. off the album Controversy in 1981, I can't believe it didn't chart in Canada, because it says it charted in the U.S. at 3. I just can't believe it didn't chart in Canada, because it typically, they do chart there. So that's a little weird. I don't believe it one bit, because it seems like I've said this before, I didn't know that Canada was so into music. Like they were, I just never thought of it that way. I always think of England and, you know, California and places like that, but Canada was very up in their music. So I can't believe that Prince Controversy wasn't on the chart for them. So I think that's all lies, I'm telling you. All right, so I hope that music got you going, even though you need to sleep, BP, you've been up all night. I hope that got you going. Thank you guys for being here. IPPJYJWKXQ, thank you. In Canada, they like different. Oh, yeah, they do like different friends. You're too funny. I almost didn't get that sometimes. I'm like, what? Huh? Wait, what? I know we're not supposed to say that either. But all right. So thank you guys so much for being here. I will be back on Wednesday and then Thursday and then Friday. So I'm going to leave you like I always leave you, although I need to turn it up, but you're not going to hear it. Ooh. Do you guys hear that when it goes beep? Like that when the volume goes up, it goes beep. It does in my ear. I hope it doesn't for you guys. Here we go. Oh my gosh, on the first try I did it. I can't believe it. It usually makes me push that button like 3 times. Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. And if nobody's told you this lately, you are loved and appreciated. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so, so very much. Have a great day. Be safe out there. If you're in Colorado, please drive safely. The roads are very icy. There's accidents everywhere. Get to where you're going. Just do it slow. Talk to you later. Bye. 1, 2.